The reading this morning will be taken from John chapter 10. If you please take out your Bibles and follow along if you would like, in verses 1 through 30. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep, and to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they flee from him because they do not know the voice of a stranger. The figure of speech that Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All of you came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came and they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, behold the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is the hireling and he is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become the one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay down my own initiative to have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. There arose a division again among the Jews because of these words, and many of them were saying, he is a demon and he is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of a demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? And at that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews therefore gathered around him and saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name, but these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them up out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Keep your Bibles open to the passage that Frosty just read for us in John 10. And we want to look at this passage and we want to see what we can learn about God, about Christ, about our relationship to Him. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here to worship the Lord. Lord willing, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to summarize what Job 1 and 2 has said about Satan and God and compare it to the rest of the Bible to see what is their hand in suffering. The New Testament is full of agricultural images. The Bible is full of agricultural images. Some of them may be a little strange to us, but we see examples of this kind of world around us. As a shepherd guides sheep and cares for sheep, while we are not as acquainted as Jesus' world would have been, this is a picture that we can understand. We can grasp. The Lord is our shepherd collectively, and He is my shepherd individually. He is our leader. He is my individual leader. We follow Him in what we do together. We follow Him in our lives as individuals. But this picture of the Lord as a shepherd is common throughout Scripture. And being a shepherd involved hard work in difficult circumstances. In Genesis 31, in verse 40, you find that being a shepherd involved being with the sheep in the heat of the day and in the frost by night. You remember in Luke 2, 8, that shepherds were in the field with the flocks at night when the angels appeared to them. Being a shepherd was a hard work. And so speaking of the good shepherd tells us of one who is working diligently with the sheep. It was hard work. It was dangerous work. As the text tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verses 34 through 37 that David had to defend the flock from lions and bears. There are other references to this. There are references to a shepherd snatching from a bear and a lion, snatching a piece of an ear in Amos 3 in verse 12. It was a dangerous work, and it was a work in which the shepherd showed concern for each individual sheep. As Luke 15 says, there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them was lost. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and looks for the one that's lost. Matthew 18, the same picture. And when the shepherd finds the one that's lost in Luke 15, 5, he puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. The sheep is exhausted. The sheep is tired. And the shepherd carries the sheep. That's also the imagery of Psalm 28, 9, of Isaiah 40 in verse 11, where the shepherd carries the sheep. And so there are all types of biblical pictures of a shepherd and his work. This passage that Frosty just read is a powerful one. Notice that Jesus makes two statements in verse 1 and verse 7, which he introduces in the New American Standard by the words, truly, truly. This is the word amen, amen. We'll say amen at the end of something that we agree with heartily. Jesus often uses an amen and a double amen before some great pronouncement of truth. In verse 1, amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. And in verse 7, amen, amen, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus makes these two amen statements. Jesus makes several I am statements. In verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd. So this tells us who Jesus is. Truly, truly, it tells us who he is. And so if you've come this morning to learn about Jesus, you've come to the right place. In verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, I should have included verse 4 at this point. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd doesn't ask the sheep to go anywhere that he doesn't go before them. The shepherd leads them out. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now let me give you something that I'm going to try to say in a way easy to write down that is not represented by the slide. In this passage, the good shepherd is contrasted with three people. First of all, the good shepherd is contrasted with the thief and the robber. The thief and the robber are mentioned in verse 1. They are ones who come in some other way. The thieves and the robbers are mentioned in verse 8. As Jesus said, all who come before me are thieves and robbers. And the thief is mentioned again in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. So the good shepherd is contrasted first with thieves and robbers. Second, the good shepherd is contrasted with the stranger in verse 5. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So the good shepherd is contrasted with the thief and the robber. He is contrasted with the stranger. And in verses 12 and 13, the good shepherd is contrasted with the hired man, I guess I should say. Verse 12 and 13, he who is a hired man and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the flock, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired man and he's not concerned about the sheep. Now, in verses 12 and 13, the hired man is not the sinister figure that the thieves and robbers are in verse 1, verse 8, and verse 10. He's not a sinister figure, but he's not helpful either. He's not helpful. He's not got a vested interest in the flock. And danger comes. The lion or the bear that David spoke about, or the wolf that this picture speaks of. Danger is lurking, and the hired man says, I didn't sign up for this. He's not the sinister figure, but he's not a helpful figure. He's not one who's rescuing the flock. He's not one who's helping the flock. He is one who is not concerned about the flock. And his safety always comes above the flock's safety. Contrast that with the Good Shepherd. Jesus says in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the Good Shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me. Look for something in the Gospel of John. And in this particular passage, there is an intimacy in the relationship between the Father, between the shepherd and the sheep. There's an intimacy between the shepherd and sheep. In verse 3, the Bible tells us he calls his own sheep by name. In verse 14, the shepherd knows the sheep. Jesus knows the flock. But that intimacy of relationship between the shepherd and the sheep flows out of the intimacy of the relationship between the Father and the Son, between the Father and the Good Shepherd. As verse 15 says, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, no one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. David put the safety of the flock above his own safety and stood and fought the lion and the bear. He fought the lion, he fought the bear, but he lived to tell the story. A shepherd had to be brave to snatch a piece of an ear or a limb from a lion's mouth, as we referenced from the book of Amos. But he lived to tell the story. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The defining moment of your life. The defining moment of my life came long before we were born, when the Good Shepherd laid down his life for us. When he laid it down, when he took it up again, that is the defining moment of our lives. Thus, every Sunday morning, we partake of this Lord's Supper together. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It is interesting, and you are familiar with the idea that the good shepherd of the Gospel of John is the Lamb of the book of Revelation. And the Lamb is praised because he laid down his life for the sheep. In Revelation 5, verses 9, they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Later in verse 12 of Revelation 5, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory." The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, and he is worthy of praise. He is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory because he laid down his life for the sheep. And the shepherd protects his sheep. In verses 27 through 29, or verse 10, first of all, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." In verse 28 and 29, "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Our shepherd is powerful enough that he can defend his flock from any bear, from any lion, from any wolf. They are no challenge to the power of the shepherd. Does that mean that once we are his sheep, we are always his sheep, that we can never refuse to listen to him or walk another way? No. But I want to tell you, no one is powerful enough to take us out of the shepherd's hands. And just as this passage helps us to stand in awe of the shepherd, it also is a lesson to those of us who are sheep as to how we respond to the shepherd. Now, what are we as sheep to do in our relationship to the shepherd? First thing we're to do is to hear him, to listen to him, to pay attention to what he says. This is stated over and over again in the text. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice." The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them forth. In verse 16, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." What is the defining characteristic of Jesus' sheep? Well, that defining characteristic was not something about nationality. Jesus said, I have other sheep, not of this fold. I think there he's speaking of Gentiles being brought in among his people. The defining characteristic is not nationality. The defining characteristic is not some outward physical circumstance. The defining characteristic of the sheep is the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. They listen to the voice of the shepherd. That's what defines the sheep. Now notice, even though Jesus' purpose is to be one shepherd over one flock that includes a variety of people, Jesus' purpose is to bring the flock to unity. Realistically, always Jesus causes division. Jesus causes division. I shouldn't say Jesus causes division. Jesus brings unity. But some who won't listen to Jesus bring division. Where do I get that from? Verse 19. A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Now, those words were spoken in John 7:43. A division occurred in the crowd because of him. In John 9:16, at the end of this passage, as they were debating about Jesus healing the blind man, it says at the end of John 9:16, there was a division among them. Jesus comes as one shepherd to bring unity to one flock, but those who don't listen are going to bring division. And in verse 20, many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? The word translated listen in verse 20 is the same word translated here in verse 3 and in verse 16 and in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Whose voice are you attentive to? He is the good shepherd who has given his life for us. That is the defining moment of our existence. Isn't that worthy? Of our hearing? Doesn't that deserve a listening? As sheep, we listen to the voice of a shepherd. And there's a negative side to that. In verse 5, a stranger, well, let's start at verse 4. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This stranger that we introduced earlier, who tries to call the sheep don't listen. Verse 8. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. Years ago, I can remember looking at some passages like this with a young man who was raised in a family of shepherds. His grandfather had that as his principal livelihood. And he said, I spent the whole summer with my grandfather. And every day as he went out to feed the sheep, I was there. I saw how he called them and what he said, and I saw how they ran to him. He said, I saw this day after day after day. And he would call, and the sheep would run. And he said, it was about the last day before I went home. He said, I went out there and I did the best imitation of my grandfather that I could do. I tried to sound as much like him as I possibly could sound. I said the same words. I said them in the same tone, in the same way. And none of the sheep came. None of the sheep came. My sheep know my voice. Now, I want to tell you, we better be listening pretty closely, because there are a lot of imitation voices out there. A lot of counterfeit voices trying to get our attention. Just as the New Testament always said there would be. In 2 Corinthians 11, do you remember how Paul said in verses 13 through 15, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end is according to their deeds. There are some awfully good deceivers disguising themselves as angels of light. But the sheep don't hear their voices. The sheep aren't led astray. The sheep are following the good shepherd. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful, because there are some great imitators who aren't the real thing in the world at large, and maybe near. And the Bible tells us the sheep follow the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. And the sheep follow the shepherd. Sometimes we want to talk about leadership, but I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more in the Bible about discipleship than leadership. And we're never qualified for leadership if we're not a follower of the shepherd. Never qualified. Someone who doesn't submit to the good shepherd is not worthy to be followed. And the good shepherd leads us through the green pastures and to the quiet waters. And the good shepherd sometimes leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. We mentioned how in the book of Revelation, the good shepherd of John 10 often becomes the lamb. In Revelation 14, verse 4, these are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they've kept themselves chaste. And these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. When Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they followed him. Same word that we're dealing with in this passage. They followed him. When Jesus called Matthew, he said, "Follow me." And the Bible says about Matthew that he left everything and followed. The sheep follow the shepherd. And God help us. We follow him wherever he leads, whatever he says. He never leads us anywhere, though. He is not going before us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for this imagery. We thank you for the powerful pictures that you have given of yourselves and your love for us, and that you've given us of ourselves and our response to you. Thank you for these pictures. May we listen to your voice. May we hear your words. May we follow you wherever you lead us, that we can truly sing, "Where he leads, I will follow." It is in Jesus we pray. Amen. For we invite you to surrender to the Good Shepherd. To surrender to the Good Shepherd, to follow the Good Shepherd. We're not pointing you to strangers. We're pointing you to the Shepherd. If you believe what we're saying, if you believe he laid down his life for you in his death, he took up his life in resurrection, and you want to stop listening to those other voices that seek to mislead and follow the only voice that leads to truth, or maybe there's some who sincerely think they're leading, but you know it's his voice that we must listen to. It is to him we must turn in repentance and be baptized and have our sins washed away. If we can help you with that, please come as we stand and sing.